Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. Well, what did you do on July 4th? And what did you think about on that day? Did you think at all about that's Independence Day? And why did it settle on July 4th? Actually, there was quite a bit of debate about that. So even though we're past that day, I found some interesting information that we probably never heard about, never learned from our history teachers, but have been verified through appropriate sources. So only two people actually signed the Declaration of Independence on July 4th. One of them, John Hancock. You know, we always hear about John Hancock. The other one was Charles Thompson, Secretary of Congress. But most of the others signed on August 2nd. So we could easily have been celebrating on July 2nd. That governing body of the 13 colonies, known as the Continental Congress, voted in favor of declaring themselves independent of British rule. There's a really important part, independence from British rule. But it was on July 4th that the Declaration of Independence was finalized as a written document, and so that's what appears on the official document. But not everybody was happy about that. On July 3rd, 1776, John Adams, who went on to become our second president, wrote a letter to his wife, Abigail, to tell her how excited he was that Congress had voted in favor of independence. The second day of July, 1776, will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America, he declared. So he thought that Independence Day should be on July 2nd. So he refused to appear at the celebration on July 4th. But it also could easily have been celebrated on August 2nd, because that's when some of the final signatures were put on there. So, you know, it's interesting. You know, when I think of the Declaration of Independence and that signing, I have this picture in my mind of a painting that has all of these gentlemen standing there dressed up in their waistcoats and so on, and one person is signing and the others are waiting, and it's all very peaceful. You know, everybody's in agreement, and it's being done on July 4th. Well, not actually. So what else maybe is different? We hear that Thomas Jefferson is the author of the Declaration of Independence, but he actually wasn't officially recognized as its principal author until the 1790s. Well, why is that? Because although he started, you know, he did some of the first formal statements and thought about what should be in there, it actually was put together by, would you believe this, a committee? You know, so often we laugh and say, well, if you want something done, you don't assign it to a committee. A committee, including Jefferson and Franklin and Adams, and then two people we probably haven't heard of, Roger Sherman and Robert Livingston, actually wrote the final document. So, you know, it's just interesting how history comes to us and maybe it doesn't tell us the whole story. And perhaps part of it isn't that important as long as we remember why it is we are celebrating on that day. I find it very interesting that in Jefferson's, one of his early drafts of the Declaration of Independence, he called slavery a cruel war against human nature and denounced King George III for creating and sustaining the slave trade. Well, Jefferson owned more than 200 slaves in 1776, and yet he was willing to put this in the Declaration of Independence. Well, after lots of discussion by the other writers, the final decision, and of course they put this out to lots of other people, that language was deleted from the final version. Can you imagine how our lives and our situation would be different if that had been left in the Declaration of Independence, and we had moved on from there? Well, it was not really exciting to everybody. We think protests are new, perhaps. Well, no, our country actually started with protests. But when the colonists in New York City found out about the Declaration of Independence from George Washington, he read it in front of City Hall on July 9th, 1776, a riot broke out, in part as a reaction to the fact that British naval ships were occupying the harbor at the time. And get this, during the riot, a statue of King George III was torn down and melted down to make 42,000 musket balls for the Revolutionary Army. So no matter how you feel, what you think about statues being torn down, that's not new either. It was done on July 9th or because of the riot in New York City. We also, or I think, when I see that painting, that it's all men standing there, and it is. But in fact, on some copies, there is a woman's name, Mary Catherine Goddard, who was commissioned by Congress to print copies of the important document. So she added her name below the original signers. And though it's not clear why she included her name, Goddard was a well-known patriot and one of the first women publishers and postmasters in the young country. So another name we might mention, because we hear John Hancock and we know that some of the other colonists, you know, Washington and John Adams and so on, were signers. If you could find him, one of the most sought-after signatures is one we've never heard of. His name was Button Gwinnett. Yes, he signed the Declaration of Independence. He was born in England in 1735, and at age 30, he moved to the colonies. He lived in Georgia, suffered through multiple failed business endeavors, which didn't exactly make him a celebrity. But eventually, Gwinnett got into politics and became very passionate about the colony's independence. And sure enough, there he was in Independence Hall in 1776, signing the Declaration, below to the left of John Hancock's now famous penmanship. So if you see a copy, you know, often you can, well, go online, whatever, you can see a copy. Look for Button Gwinnett's name next to John Hancock, one of those unknowns, along with a number of others. And he was 30, but many of those signers of the Declaration of Independence were younger than that. They were young men who believed in what they were doing. Another part that I think is kind of interesting is that when they were writing this, you know, it says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." But the original draft by Thomas Jefferson did not include happiness, but of property. So it would have said the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of property. Well, Benjamin Franklin convinced Jefferson to make a change because property was too narrow a notion. Quite a few of these signers and workers toward the Declaration of Independence, you know, were maybe not wealthy in the big term of wealthy, but certainly had nice homes and, you know, certainly were not poor. So property was very important, but Benjamin Franklin said it should be in the pursuit of things bigger than our property. That's what they were working for, the right to freedom, the right to feeling good about the service you give to your country. So it's about thinking and feeling, not just about what you own. So that's how one line got changed. Then we go on to the Constitution. Constitution was not in place until 1789. And the Constitution is what actually defines our form of government and set boundaries on what our laws could and couldn't do. So you might say that our country was born in 1789, however you want to look at it. There is some history related to why we set off fireworks. Yep, at the first National Independence Day celebration in Philadelphia, 1777, 13 cannons were fired, one for each state of the Union. Bells were rung and fireworks were set off. So we've continued that tradition. So looking back in history, well, sometimes, you know, till next time, here's the rest of the story.